ثم أنزل عليكم. Then he sent down upon you من بعد الغم أمنة. Then he sent down upon you security in the form of drowsiness. نعاسا يغشى طائفة منكم وطائفة قد أهمتهم أنفسهم. Overcoming a faction of you while another faction worried about themselves. ثم أنزل عليكم. Then he sent down upon you. Meaning, when you were suffering from gham after gham in the battle, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon you min ba'd al-gham, after the gham, amanatan. Amana, from aman. What does aman mean? Peace, safety, security. And it's the opposite of khawf. What is khawf? Fear. So amana, a sense of security, being safe, being at peace. So he sent down amana upon you. What was that amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon the believers? It was in the form of nu'asan. The amana was nu'asan. Nu'asan is from the root letters nun, ayn, seen. And nu'asan is the state of sleepiness. It is a state in which a person is very drowsy. Na'san is a person who is very sleepy. And because of that sleepiness, he's yawning. You know, sometimes you are so sleepy that you close your eyes and you open them and you yawn and then you close your eyes. So this is a state of nu'as. It is also said that nu'as is used for such sleepiness in which one's senses, they don't remain as sharp anymore. So for instance, you're so sleepy that somebody's talking and you can't exactly hear them. Or somebody walks by and you have no idea that they walked by. Why? Because you're sleepy. You're actually awake, but you're so sleepy you don't realize. And sometimes it happens that somebody's talking to you and you're so sleepy that after some time they're like, it's okay, just leave them alone, let them sleep. Because halfway through you're responding to them and then you don't respond to them. So this is a state of nu'as, that when you're sleepy and you're awake and you're sleeping and you're awake, so it's like you're drifting away into sleep and then you come back as well. Then you go back to sleep and then you wake up again. So it's a state of sleepiness, extreme sleepiness. So he sent down this nu'as upon you as an amana. Now you may wonder, they're in the midst of a battle and they're feeling sleepy? Isn't that very dangerous? But Allah calls it amana. You see, this was after the gham. After they had suffered one thing after the other and they had climbed up the mountain, and in a way they were secure from the enemy. But obviously the enemy could climb up behind them and finish them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this nu'as upon them, and it was in the valley of Uhud, where we learned that the Sahaba, they were so overcome by sleep that Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he said that he would lift up his sword and it would fall down. The Sahaba, they would lift up their shields and they would drop from their hands. Why? For two reasons. First of all, to alleviate the fear. When you're overcome by fear, when you're overcome by pain, can you calm down? No, you can't. You're so worried. Some people start shivering. Some people start panicking. They're looking here and there. Some people start crying. But if in that state, a person is overcome by sleepiness, can he scream and can he cry and can he wail and can he be panicky and make other people panicky around him? No, he cannot. Why? Because he's overcome by sleep. Somebody was once telling me that when they were in labor, when they were delivering their baby, they would sleep while they were delivering the baby, because she was so exhausted that during the contractions she would sleep for like, you know, half a minute, and then she would wake up, and then half a minute she would sleep. And because of that, the labor, although it was very long, but because she had been sleeping throughout, it was fine. And imagine if a person's like, oh my God, I'm in so much pain, then she would be screaming, she would be crying, she would be yelling. But the fact that she was overcome by sleep, it made the painful process much easier. And this is amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly, the Sahaba, just imagine the fear, the panic that they would have been in. But because they were overcome by sleep, it relaxed them. They were relaxed. Naturally, they were relaxed. So it alleviated the fear that they were in, or they could have been in. And the second reason for this nu'as was so that they would become fresh afterwards, because they had had a tough battle. They had just suffered loss. And in order to get themselves together, in order to go home, obviously they needed to be fresh, in order to face the future difficulties, the future challenges, because obviously traveling through the desert, even if it's 3 kilometers, is difficult, knowing that your enemy could come from behind you. So they needed that energy. So when they snoozed for a few minutes, for some time, it made them fresh. So this is the reason why the nu'as was sent as an amanah. And you know, many things you can resist, but sleep is one thing that you cannot resist. You cannot. Like if there's food in front of you, you can avoid it. But if you're being overcome by sleep, you cannot avoid it. You're helpless in front of sleep. Which is why we know that a person who is sleeping, and because of his sleep he misses the salah, he is forgiven up until the time that he wakes up. As soon as he wakes up, he is supposed to pray. Why? Because sleep completely overcomes a person. This doesn't mean that you should relax and not set an alarm clock next time. It doesn't mean that. But despite all of your effort, if you're overcome by sleep and if you cannot wake up, it's something that you cannot resist. It's something natural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down nu'asan as amanatan. And this nu'as, it wasn't overcoming everyone. Who was it overcoming? يَلْشَى طَائِفَةً مِنْكُمْ. It was only overcoming a group among you. Which group? The believers. So their swords were falling from their hands, their shields were falling from their hands. وَطَائِفَةٌ, and a group, قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. And the other group, what happened to them? قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Their anfus, their souls, they preoccupied them. They made them so worried. They distressed them. Why? Because they were not overcome by sleep. Ahammatum, from the root letters hamimi, we learned earlier this word as well. إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ. What is ham? Intend to do something. Hadithun nafs. And the word ham is also used for distress. It is also used for distress. So over here, أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ, meaning it concerned them, it preoccupied them, it made them worried, it affected them, it distressed them. What distressed them? أَنفُسُهُمْ, their souls. So their souls were making them so anxious. Meaning, they were so concerned about themselves, about their security, about their safety, that they could not relax. It was causing them hum. It was causing them worry. It was causing them grief. So their only wish was their own deliverance, was their own safety and security. And they weren't concerned about the companions. They weren't concerned about the Prophet ﷺ. They weren't concerned about the fact that the Muslims had suffered a defeat. No. All that they were concerned about was their own deliverance. And you see, because they weren't overcome by nu'as, amana, security, safety was not given to them. They were deprived of that feeling of safety which the Sahaba were given. The Sahaba, the true believers, when they were overcome by nu'as, it relaxed them, despite whatever they had suffered. But the hypocrites, what happened with them? They were so concerned about themselves that in that panic and fear, they couldn't think of anything else except for their own security. And imagine if you're in such a situation that you're panicking, you're worried. What is a person going to do? What is a person going to do? He cannot help himself, but he's only going to increase in his anxiety. It's going to make the situation much worse for him. And in this situation, you can't even think straight. You can't even think straight. You can't relax. يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ. They were thinking about Allah, غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ. Who was thinking about Allah, غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ? The second ta'ifa. And what was this ta'ifa of? Who was this ta'ifa of? The hypocrites. So يَغْشَى طَائِفَةٌ, the first one was of the true believers, and the second one was of the hypocrites. And what were they doing? يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ. They were thinking about Allah other than the haqq. What were they thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For instance, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was really true, this would not have happened to us. Similarly, thinking that this is the end of Islam, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't help us. So they were thinking wrong thoughts about Allah, negative thoughts about Allah, bad thoughts about Allah. And generally, when a person is in this situation, that he's overcome by fear, he's very anxious, then he starts thinking negative thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The thing is that they're in that position because of their own faults, their own mistake. their own lack of tawakkul. They have done something because of which Allah is not giving them amana. And then when they are in this situation, they end up losing their iman as well. The little iman they have, they lose that as well. They start questioning their faith. I wonder if God even exists. For instance, if a person is going through one difficulty after the other, the death of a family member, they lose their job, they suffer from an illness. Some people, what do they start doing in this situation? They start questioning their faith. They say, I wonder if Allah even exists. Why aren't my du'as accepted? How come Allah does not respond to my du'as? Is Allah even there? So, يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ. They began thinking about Allah, wrong thoughts, bad thoughts, negative thoughts, incorrect thoughts. And these thoughts, Allah says, they are ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّ. They are the ظَن of جَاهِلِيَّ. They are the thoughts of the days of ignorance. Which thoughts are the thoughts of the days of ignorance? Negative thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially jahiliyyah refers to before Islam. And it also refers to the jahili mushrikeen, the jahili Arabs, who did not have Islam. And what did they think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That soon his matter is going to come to an end. Soon his affair is going to end. So these hypocrites, they thought, okay, this is the end of Islam now. So this is how they thought about Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يَقُولُونَ, they were saying, هَلَّنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, هَلَّنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Is there any amr? Meaning, do we have any right to say anything? Do we have any share of the amr? هَلَّنَا. This hal is of inkar. It is of denial. And it is for the purpose of objection. Lana, for us, meaning, is there any possibility of receiving any help from Allah? Min al amri. Which amr is this? Amr refers to fath and nusra, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, amr refers to the situation that they were made to come to the battle. So, halana min al amri min shay refers to two things. First of all, that is there any possibility of receiving any help from Allah? Is there any possibility of receiving any help from Allah? And secondly, this implies هَلَّنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, meaning, do we have any choice? Because they said at this time that we never wanted to come here. We were forced to come. This is unfair. We were forced to come here. It was against our will. It wasn't our suggestion. We wanted to fight from inside Medina. So our suggestion was not taken into account, was not considered at all. So then they started objecting that do we have any share in the matter at all? Do we have any share in the matter? Do we have any share in the help of Allah, in receiving the help of Allah, in getting the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in voicing our concerns? And many times this is what happens. When people suffer from failure, what do? They start blaming other people. You never listened to me. I told you so. I told you so. You never listened to me. You never pay me any attention. You never consider my suggestions. The fact is that when you have agreed to do something, then your suggestion, somebody else's suggestion, becomes one. So even though you differed before the final decision, you wanted to stay inside Medina, but the fact that the matter was decided and you were all going to go outside of Medina, now no matter what has happened. Now you can't put the blame on somebody else because it was a united decision. The Prophet ﷺ consulted the companions. It was a unanimous decision. So you can't object now that you should have listened to me, you should have heard me. And you can't say that, do we have any share in the help of Allah? No, Allah did help you at the beginning. So, هَلَّنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. قُلْ say, meaning, O Prophet ﷺ, say to them, إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. Say that indeed the amr, all of it is for Allah. It belongs to Allah. Which amr? The matter of giving victory. The matter of giving help. The matter of giving defeat. So basically, it belongs to who? Who decides? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the people. So just because somebody else differed with you, they had a different suggestion, they had a different idea, don't put the blame on them. This is Allah's decision. And your blaming them is not going to change anything. What is going to help you is your acceptance of the situation. يُخْفُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. They hide in themselves مَا لَا يُبْدُونَ لَكْ, what they don't reveal to you. يُبْدُونَ, from the root letters بَدَلْوَا, بُدُو. So the hypocrites, They conceal in their hearts what they don't reveal to you, what they don't expose to you. Meaning, they kept some feelings in their heart and they would not tell the Prophet ﷺ about them. What? For instance, their statement that if we had been at home, we would not have been killed. If all of us had stayed in Medina, then so many of us would not have been killed. It's like when something goes wrong, when a plan is not successful, then what do people do? Had you listened to me? Had we not done this? Everything would have been fine. For instance, if there is a car accident, people say, you know, the mother says or the brother says, I told you not to go. Well, it's done now. You can't change it. Similarly, مَا لَا يُبْدُونَ لَكَ, it refers to they're concealing the shak in their hearts. They're concealing doubt about Islam, kufr of Islam in their heart. Their regret of coming along with the Muslims, of becoming Muslim. So they are concealing this in their heart and they don't expose it to you. يَقُولُونَ, they say, لَوْ كَانَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ, if we only had a share in the matter, meaning in deciding the affair, meaning if we had the choice, مَا قُتِلْنَا هَهُنَا, we would not have been killed over here. هَهُنَا, what does هَهُنَا mean? Right here, right here. So they say that if the matter was left to us, if we were given the power to decide, if we were given a choice, then we would not have been killed here. Meaning if you had taken our suggestion, if you had listened to us, then we would not have suffered this great loss. Allah says, قُلْ, say, لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ, had you been in your own houses, had you been in your houses, لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ, those people on whom qatl was written, meaning it was decreed for them, they would have come forth to their sleeping places. Meaning the places where they're supposed to die. So staying at home does not prevent death. A person who is to die somewhere, at a particular time, he comes there. So don't say that if we had been at home, we would not have been killed. No. If death was decreed for someone, they are to die at that particular time. Kitaban mu'ajjala. It is a decree that is fixed in time. La baraza. Baraza is from the root letters barazai. And buruz is to come openly into view. It is to come into view. We read earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ, so baraza is to come into view and to emerge, and it's also used for coming forth for the purpose of battle. So لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ, meaning they would have come into view, they would have gone out, they would have emerged, who? Those people upon whom qatl was decreed, meaning those people who were supposed to be killed, those people who were to die at that time. Where would they have come? إِلَى مَضَاجِرِهِمْ. مَضَاجِر is the plural of مَضْجَع from the root letters ضَ جِيم عَيْن. ضَاد جِيم عَيْن. ضَجَع is to lie down, and it is to lie down on one side. It is to lie on one side, not on the back, not on the stomach, but what is it? On the side. And that is a proper manner of sleeping. That is a proper manner of lying down. It's the sunnah. And مَضْجَع begins with ميم. Madja is the place of dhaja. It is the place of lying down. So literally the word madja is used for a bed or a couch or a place of resting, a place of lying down. But then the word madja over here is used for, what is it used for? Place of death. Place of being killed. Place of death. Why? Because sleep is like death. And when you put a person to sleep, when a person sleeps in his bed, he stays there for some time, for the whole night. Similarly, when a person is put in his grave, he stays there until the day of judgment. So those people who were destined to be killed, they would have come forth to the battleground where they were to fall. وَلِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ, and so that Allah tests what is in your hearts. وَلِيَبْتَلِيَ, lamb over here is of illah, it is of reason, meaning all of this happened. What happened? That there was a difference of opinion at the beginning. Where should we fight from? Inside Medina or should we go outside? Okay, it was decided, let's go outside. And when they went outside, everything was decided, this is where you should stand. But then, some people, they made a mistake. They left their spots. And then the Muslims, they had to escape. They had to save themselves. And then the hypocrites started saying, had you listened to us, this would not have happened. It's your fault. You should have listened to me. So all of this, Allah is saying, why did this happen? لِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ. So that Allah tests what is in your sudur. What is in your sudur? What is in the sudur? What is in the sadr of a person? Qalb, the heart. So that Allah may test what is in your sudur, meaning so that Allah may test your heart. So that Allah may test your heart. How? Through your actions. That what do you have in your sadr? Is it the heart of iman or is it the heart of nifaq? Is it the heart of sincerity or is it the heart of insincerity? What belief do you have in your heart? So basically, لِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ. And remember, ibtila is to test, and it is the test that is manifest. So, to distinguish between the truthful and the false. Between the true believers and the hypocrites. Because up until this point, everybody was mixed. But slowly and gradually, with each battle, with each difficulty, what happened? The believers were distinguished from the hypocrites. The believers were distinguished from the hypocrites. Just as, for example, everybody comes and joins the course, for instance. And everybody does the lesson every day. Everybody takes the tests. But with each test, what happens? It's clear as to who is studying and who is not studying. Or more than that, who is understanding and who is not understanding. Because sometimes people study, but they still cannot retain much. But from your tafsir assignment, at least we know if you're understanding or you're not understanding. So with each test, what happens? A person's reality is exposed. So وَلِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ. The sincere believers are distinguished from the hypocrites. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And so that he may cleanse what is in your qulub. What is in the heart? What is in the heart? Iman or nifaq. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. يُمَحِّصَ from mim حَصَى. مَحْص, تَمْحِيص, it is to purify something, to refine something, to cleanse something. So that Allah may refine, so that He may purify what is in your hearts. Now, there were two reasons for putting the Muslims, for putting the believers in this test, or for putting the people of Medina in this test. First was, لِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ. That Allah may test what is in your sadr. And what is in the sadr? Heart. What kind of a heart does a person have? Is it the heart of iman or is it the heart of nifaq? So, in other words, the first reason was to distinguish between the believers and hypocrites. And the second reason was, so that لِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And over here, kum refers to the believers specifically. That the believers, their hearts are cleansed. Their hearts are purified. Further, because a person can have iman, but along with iman, he can have many weaknesses. Love of dunya, fear of battle, not giving that much importance to the sunnah. So, these negative qualities can exist in a person's heart along with iman. So, we learned earlier that minkum man yuridu dunya wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah. Some of you desire the dunya and some of you desire the akhirah. So the sincere believers, they also had the love of dunya. Similarly, the companions who had been appointed at the mount, at the rear of the Muslim army, they weren't hypocrites. They were true believers, which is why Allah said, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْكُمْ. Allah has pardoned you. Allah does not forgive the hypocrites. It refers to the true believers. But it shows that they still had weaknesses. So, the Muslims went through all of these difficulties, all of these trials at the Battle of Uhud. Why? So that their hearts would be further purified. لِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So that He purifies your heart from love of this world. لِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Because if you compare the two statements, لِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ. What is in the sudur? Heart. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. What is that? Heart. So you may wonder, it's the same thing that is being said. It's not the same thing. The first is distinguishing between the believers and the hypocrites. The second is cleansing, purifying the believers even further. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. And Allah is knowing of what is in the sudur. That is a feminine of ذو. And what does it mean? Possessor. Meaning whatever the sudur possess. Whatever occupies the heart. Whatever occupies the chest of a person. Meaning whatever is in the heart of a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. So He tries people. He tests people. Why? So that what is in their hearts is exposed to them. Their reality is exposed to them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ. Indeed, those of you who turn back. When? يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ. On the day the two armies met. Those people who turned away among you, when? On the day that the two armies met. تَوَلَّوْا from the root letters وَاوْ لَامْ يَا. And إِلْتَقَى from the root letters لَامْ قَافْ يَا. What does لَقِيَ mean? To meet. إِلْتَقَى, he met. Who met? الجمعان, the two groups. جمعان is a dual of جمع. It's the تثنية. And what is جمع used for? A gathering. And then it's used for a group of people. So the day when the two groups met, meaning the day of the battle of Uhud, those of you who turned away, those of you who turned away from what? Those of you who fled the battlefield. Or those of you who left their posts. And remember that tawallaw minkum, you over here refers to the believers. It doesn't refer to the hypocrites. Why? Because the hypocrites, they had already left. The people of Abdullah ibn Ubay, they had already left, 300 men. And some hypocrites who did remain with the Muslims, they're not meant over here. Why? Because at the end of the ayah, what does Allah say? وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah has pardoned them. Obviously the hypocrites, they weren't pardoned. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ. Who does it refer to? The sincere believers, the true believers. And among them was who? Among them was who? I mentioned to you that incident. Uthman radiallahu anhu. Right? And many other companions as well. It wasn't just him, but many other companions who were sincere believers, who were true believers. إِنَّمَا, indeed not but, إِسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ. Shaytan caused them to slip. إِسْتَزَلَّ, from the root letter زَعِ لَامْ لَامْ. زَلَل. And what does زَلَل mean? To slip. How? To slip unintentionally. For instance, if you're walking on the snow, you don't deliberately slip. Some people do. But people don't generally slip deliberately. So zalal is to slip unintentionally. And then it is used for making a mistake, to commit an error. And istazalla, he caused to slip. He caused to slip. He made them slip. Who made them slip? Who made them make this mistake? What was the mistake they made? They left their posts or they fled from the battlefield. Who made them make this mistake? Ash-shaytan of the shaytan. With his waswasa. And many times, we make mistakes. Why? When we realize a mistake, what do we say? Shaytan. Huh? It is the shaytan. Some people say, leave the poor shaytan alone and take the blame on yourself. No. Shaytan does give waswasa. But just because shaytan gave waswasa to you, doesn't mean that you are not blameworthy. You are blameworthy. But shaitan tried to make you slip. Because many times people try to put the blame on shaitan and try to prove themselves as innocent. No, you are not innocent. You did make a mistake. Yes, shaitan made you slip. However, you made the mistake. So, إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan caused them to slip. Why? بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا. Because of some actions that they had earned. Because of what they have earned. What did they earn? What does it refer to? بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا refers to some previous mistakes, some previous errors. And it also refers to بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا disobeying the Prophet ﷺ's command. That they left their posts. And when they left their posts, when they disobeyed the Prophet ﷺ, what happened? When the enemy came, they fled. Because we learned that although when the enemy did attack again, there were some companions who were still with the Prophet ﷺ defending him. Weren't there? There were many of the companions who were along with the Prophet ﷺ, defending him, saving him, fighting the enemy. So how come everybody didn't come up to the Prophet ﷺ to save him? Or how come everybody didn't fight the enemy? How come some people fled and some people stayed firm? And of those people who stayed firm was a woman, Ammara. So how come? What's the difference? Why is it that some people were given the tawfiq to remain steadfast and other people did not have that tawfiq? Why? Why is it that shaitan made them slip? بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا, because of what they had earned, because of some mistakes that they had made previously, because they had disobeyed the Prophet ﷺ previously. What does this show us? That sometimes we make mistakes. Why? Because of our own sins. The tawfiq is taken away from us. Why? Because of our own sins, because of what we have done in the past. This is why istighfar is so important. Seeking forgiveness. Because many times we don't even see our sins. We don't even realize we've committed a sin. We learned earlier about the Ribbiyun, that in the middle of the battle, what are they praying? Oh Allah, forgive us. Why? Because istighfar, what does it do? It wipes off the previous sins, and then you get the rahmah of Allah. Then you get the mercy of Allah. And we also learned from a hadith that a person who makes istighfar lazim upon himself, mandatory upon himself, then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help comes to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a way out for him from every problem, from every constriction, from every difficulty. But who? The one who makes istighfar mandatory upon himself. He always does istighfar. وَلَقَدْ عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, and Allah has certainly pardoned them. Who? The believers. Yes, they made a mistake. Yes, they did commit some mistakes. And because of that, shaitan did manage to make them slip. However, because they are human beings, because they are sincere believers, وَلَقَدْ عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ, indeed Allah is forgiving and He's also Haleem. Who is Haleem? One who does not punish immediately. Haleem is from Hilm. And what is Hilm? Tolerance. That the other person makes a mistake, he does something wrong, but you don't punish immediately. You give them time. Sometimes we're just waiting for the other person to make a mistake so that we can shout at them. We can take revenge from them. But Hilm is to have some sabr, is to have some tolerance, to tolerate the wrong of other people. Give them some time. Inna Allaha ghafurun haleem. Allah is forgiving and He is also very forbearing. He doesn't hasten punishment against those people who commit errors, who commit mistakes. But He does give them time so that they can realize their mistakes and repent. Recitation.
إذ تصعدون ولا تلوون على أحد والرسول يدعوكم في أخراكم فأثابكم غما بغم لكي لا تحزنوا على ما فاتكم ولا ما أصابكم والله خبير بما تعملون ثم أنزل عليكم من بعد الغم أمنة نعاسا يغشى طائفة منكم وطائفة قد أهمتهم أنفسهم يظنون بالله غير الحق ظن الجاهلية يقولون هل لنا من الأمر من شيء قل إن الأمر كله لله يخفون في أنفسهم ما لا يبدون لك يقولون لو كان لنا من الأمر شيء ما قتلنا هاهنا قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ وَلِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ وَلِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ إِنَّمَا اسْتَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِبَعْضِ مَا كَسَبُوا وَلَقَدْ عَفَا اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ
So what did you learn? That we should always seek forgiveness, because it's possible that the problems that we're suffering in our lives is because the sins that we have committed in the past, is because the sins that we are committing now. It's possible. And a person who does istighfar, he's not going to suffer from anything. I mean, he's not going to suffer any harm by doing istighfar. Even if a person has not committed a sin, then he is showing humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by showing humility, what is he inviting? The rahmah of Allah. So if you want a way out of problems, if you want a way out of difficulties, if you're facing a difficulty in your life, a challenge in your life that you feel you cannot deal with, even if it's memorizing the lesson, even if it is coming to school every day, what should we increase in? Istighfar. We discuss our problems with people, but again, we don't discuss our problems with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go try to take advice from one person and then another person, but we forget to do istighfar. And we think that we'll do istighfar, you know, after salah, or when we're free. But the thing is that you can do istighfar anytime, wherever you are, in your heart, on your tongue, while you're cleaning, while you're walking, while you're packing. Anytime, you can do istighfar. You don't have to sit down somewhere and then do istighfar. You can do it throughout the day. And the best thing is if you fix a time for doing istighfar. For instance, this one person, she was once saying that, you know, she has fixed a particular dhikr for the time when she's washing dishes. That is the time when she says a particular dhikr. Why? Because automatically what's going to happen, every time you're going to start that task, you're going to remember that dhikr. And then you're going to make sure that you do it every day. And the task of, the work of washing dishes also becomes easier. What else have you learned? For our faults, for our mistakes, we blame other people. We blame shaitan. Yes, other people, they may be blameworthy. Shaitan is blameworthy. But it doesn't mean that we don't hold ourselves accountable. We also have to hold ourselves accountable. Fatima? Shaitan is alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudur innas, in the sadr, in the heart of a person. Shaitan puts the waswasa. And you will only give him the key to your heart when you are not doing dhikr of Allah. Because as we know from the hadith that when a person remembers Allah, shaitan khanasa, he goes back. And then as soon as a person is negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan comes and whispers. But tell me, if you're watching TV for like 3 hours, for 2 hours, are you doing dhikr of Allah? Are you? No, you're not. And if you spend 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours watching TV every single day, and then you wonder, why can't I memorize my lesson? Well, you're spending 4 hours without the dhikr of Allah, making yourself vulnerable to the wasawis of shaitan. Are you not going to commit mistakes then? Are you not going to deprive yourself of much good then? Yes. Many times we say, when we're not successful in what we want, when we cannot obtain what we desire despite our effort, we say, okay, this is not decreed for me. It's that person's fault, it's that person's fault. Okay, it's not written for me, it's not decreed for me, so just forget about it, move on. But why? Is the Quran not for everyone? Is the Quran not for you? If Allah can give the understanding of Quran to one person, can He not give it to you? Of course He can. But you need to prove yourself worthy of it. And for that you need to check your actions. You need to see how much time you're spending with the Book of Allah and how much time you're spending with other things, making yourself vulnerable to the wasawis of shaitan. What else do we learn from these ayat? The hypocrites, after suffering the loss, what did they say? That if only we had a choice in the matter, in making the decision, we wouldn't have been here, we wouldn't have been killed, our companions wouldn't have suffered. And saying if opens up the door to shaitan. And those people for whom death is written somewhere, you will come there. What does this show to us? That death is definite. We cannot avoid it. So we must prepare for it. This life that Allah has given, time is too short. Don't waste it. And the best dhikr for seeking istighfar is Sayyidul Istighfar. It is Sayyid is the leader. You can find it in Iyaka Nasta'in. It is a book that is available in our bookstore as well. The Sayyidul Istighfar, obviously, it's at the top of the list.
Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.